The aim of our Living with Diabetes podcasts is to share information and inspire, and we endeavour to ensure that the information provided in them is accurate. It's not a substitute for medical or health advice from a healthcare professional who's aware of the facts and circumstances of your individual situation. We always recommend that advice be sought from your GP or diabetes nurse before making any changes to medication or before using any products or services referenced by DRWF. DRWF will not be held liable or responsible for failure to seek competent medical or health advice from a professional who's familiar with your situation. Views, information, or opinions contained in podcasts do not necessarily represent opinions, standards, or policies of DRWF. The inclusion of details about products or services does not indicate DRWF endorsement of them.
Hello and welcome to the latest Living with Diabetes special podcast looking at research supported by Diabetes Research and Wellness Foundation. I'm Claire Levy, and in this edition we're looking at an interesting research project which studies the recycling mechanisms in beta cells during acute and chronic stages in glucose levels. I recently spoke with Catherine Arden to discover more.
My name's Catherine Arden. I'm a researcher at Newcastle University with an interest in pancreatic beta cell research and really understanding how pancreatic beta cells function and how they feel in type 2 diabetes.
So if you could then just tell us what is happening for people diagnosed with type 2 diabetes?
Well, at the moment, when somebody's diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, the main aim for these patients is to maintain their blood sugar levels within the normal range as much as possible. So there's various different interventions that can help with this, such as dietary intervention, but also drug treatments. There's various, again, different drug treatments that can be applicable for various patients, and most patients would usually start on metformin, but there are additional therapies available. The problem is with time, what often happens with lots of patients is as the disease progresses, these drug treatments just don't seem to be sufficient anymore in terms of maintaining blood sugar levels. And therefore, you need to go for additional therapies or potentially for some patients, what you eventually need are insulin injections. It's very important that these patients do maintain blood sugar levels to prevent the development of diabetic complications, which can severely impact on patients' quality of life and also life expectancy. So it's very important that we have more drug therapies available for patients. And I think that's what we feel at the moment, is there's not really a lot of drug choice available for patients with type 2 diabetes. So we want to be able to, you know, expand the options available for the treatment of type 2 diabetes. But in order to do that, we need to understand how type 2 diabetes develops and understand what can we target? How can we increase the capacity, the lifespan of the pancreatic beta cells to preserve the patient's ability to maintain blood sugar levels over long periods of time? So that's our main kind of area at the moment, understanding what goes on.
So what role does autophagy, is it, play in the regulation of beta cell numbers?
So autophagy is a very important process in many, you can say it both ways. The Americans tend to say autophagy, I say autophagy, but it really doesn't matter. So for autophagy, it's very important in all cell types, and it's basically a cell recycling pathway where you take up bits you don't need anymore and use it to produce energy. And if we think about that just in the way that we recycle at home, so you're putting things in your recycling bin that you don't need anymore, you know, plastic bottles, your glass bottles, your cardboard, then you put it at the end of the street every couple of weeks, it gets taken away by the vans and then goes to a recycling centre where it's used to produce something useful. That's exactly what happens in our cells all the time. So all the bits we don't need anymore, so bits of protein or bits of cell that aren't working anymore, they get chopped up into something useful and used to produce energy. So we know this is important in all cell types. But what we're very interested in is what happens in the pancreatic beta cells. So in a few studies done a number of years ago, what they did is they took mouse models and they manipulated these mice so that autophagy didn't work anymore. And when autophagy didn't work anymore, when they fed these mice a high-fat diet, they developed type 2 diabetes really quickly compared to the control mice that just didn't develop type 2 diabetes. So what we're suggesting is you need autophagy to maintain the pancreatic beta cells so that they can release enough insulin. And that was both functionally, so that they could release it, but also in the number that were there. So we understand autophagy is very important in that context. But more recently, our research and along with other researchers have shown actually, when you look at pancreatic beta cells that are isolated from patients with type 2 diabetes, there's actually a few markers in there that are suggesting that autophagy doesn't work properly. So again, going back to the recycling analogy, there's suggestions that there's increased rubbish in the cell. So you can kind of see that rubbish accumulating. There's suggestion that you kind of have a backup in the amount of recycling vans waiting in the cell to do something. And also markers to suggest that the recycling plant doesn't work anymore. So there's all these kind of suggestions that, okay, well, autophagy is just not working in the pancreatic beta cells and type 2 diabetes. So that's what we're very interested in, is understanding, well, okay, what has gone wrong? How has it gone wrong? And how does that contribute to the development of type 2 diabetes and the beta cell dysfunction that we see? And we're also very interested in how this changes during the duration of type 2 diabetes. So not just at the initial diagnosis, but how does that happen when you've had, you know, how does it impact on somebody that's had diabetes for 10 or 20 years?
Okay, so can you tell us then the aim of your study looking at how beta cells regulate autophagy in response to changes in glucose concentration?
So we're interested in, for this study, understanding exactly what happens to autophagy in the normal conditions, because we need to understand what happens normally to understand what goes wrong. So in all cell types, a really good way to stimulate autophagy is to starve the cells, so take away all the nutrients. And then you starve them, and then they will upregulate their autophagy because they've got no other way of producing energy. But interestingly, when you do this with beta cells, it doesn't work very well. And so this was really interesting. Why are beta cells not responding in the same way as other cells? Because they should, really. And we weren't the only people to discover this. Other people have since backed up the findings. And what we started to think, well, beta cells are different to other cells anyway, because what they respond to really well, it changes in glucose levels or sugar levels that you would expect to see after you have a meal. Not the fact of glucose being there or not. So we realized we were just looking at the wrong window. So what the aim of this project was to say, okay, we know these beta cells respond really well to glucose. Do we think that while we change glucose into around levels that we'd expect to see in a meal, how does that impact on autophagy? So that was what we wanted to understand. How does glucose sensing within the cell impact on autophagy? And what happens to that in type 2 diabetes? So the aim of this was to develop, you know, to develop the methods, produce some nice, solid, robust pilot data that we could then use to support larger scale grant applications going forward.
What did you find out in the study?
So what we found out is that by using a cell-based system, so the work that we do is very much working with pancreatic beta cells that we keep in dishes in the incubator. If we could stimulate these with different sugars or different levels of sugars or inhibitors to stop the sugars from working or activators to make them work a bit better, what we worked out is that if we increased sugar level, we inhibited autophagy really, really strongly. And that was the first time somebody had shown this, which was really exciting to us. And we were able to show that in the cell line that we always start with, which is a rodent cell line derived from rat. And then importantly, we could also replicate that up into human cells. So this to show that the methodology, that the mechanism was preserved between rodents and humans, which is very important. And what we were also able to show, but we could only start to kind of show some signals for in the pilot grant, was that it didn't seem to be the same of what we would see when we mimic type 2 diabetes in this cell setting. So a different kind of signal coming through, suggesting that maybe there was something very important to look at there. So sugar inhibited autophagy, but that seemed to be going a little bit skew with when we had type 2 diabetes. But that's as far as we could get at that stage. So we then kind of needed to follow it up a little bit more.
And that was your initial funding through DRWF, was it?
It was, yes. Yeah, so that was for the pilot study to get this preliminary data.
So what happens next? How do you use the data generated by the pilot study now?
So the data that we got from the pilot study was, you know, we got quite a lot of it, and it was really, really strong and robust. And we were able to use it to get additional funding for a PhD studentship. And that started back in September of 2019. And that's funded a PhD studentship for 3 years on the back of this data. And this research has really allowed the PhD student, Amelia, to really drill down to understand exactly the mechanisms that are happening. So we've been able to identify the signaling pathway, how the sugar inhibits autophagy and the signaling pathway is involved, and work out whether we can manipulate these signaling pathways to change autophagy in the cell, which is really important. What she was also able to do was really, you know, take on board the rodent human angle and really develop this in the human model to show that these really are things that happen in the human pancreatic beta cell, which is very important. And then more excitingly, what she was able to follow up was to show that things are different in type 2 diabetic type settings. So what she's shown so far is that we know that glucose or sugar inhibits autophagy short term when it's just there for a couple of hours. But actually, if you extend that out any longer than 6 hours, what starts to happen is you start to stimulate autophagy or start to see increased markers of autophagy. And once you get out beyond 24 or 48 hours, which, you know, isn't unusual to be happening in some patients with type 2 diabetes, we start to see those markers of dysregulated autophagy, like I talked about before, where you start to see the increased rubbish accumulating, you start to see the increased recycle vans accumulating, waiting to take things away, and that, you know, the dysfunction in the recycling plant, so things are not working anymore. So what it's suggesting is, okay, it might be that this is what happens in normal patients acutely, but what happens in type 2 diabetes is very different and it becomes a different pathway. And what she's looking at now is what are the different signaling pathways involved in these two responses? And it looks like they're completely separate signaling pathways, whereas one starts to override the other in the setting of type 2 diabetes.
And is there a clinical application for this research in the future?
So I think with all the research we do, the way we see it is that we're kind of part of a jigsaw puzzle. And so we're all producing our own little bit of information to try and give a full representation of what happens in normal pancreatic beta cells and then how this goes wrong in type 2 diabetes. So we're trying to put the bits of the puzzle together to understand what happens with autophagy. And that's the evidence that we're providing at the moment. Now, we already know that autophagy actually is something that is targeted by a few diabetic drugs that are in clinical practice at the moment anyway. So metformin, for instance, is a known regulator of autophagy. We don't really understand exactly what happens in the beta cells because it doesn't react particularly well on the beta cells, but we do know that it's an autophagy regulator. But another drug, the GLP-1 receptor agonists, such as the exenatide or the semaglutide, we know that that also can act through autophagy. So that's some work we've been involved with in another project to show that actually GLP-1 receptor agonists are known to have a really good beta cell protective effect, improving function and improving mass. And actually what we've been able to show is that part of this protective effect is through improving the autophagy capacity of the pancreatic beta cells. So just improving the way that the beta cells are able to increase their autophagy response to overcome the metabolic influences of type 2 diabetes that we see. So we know that there certainly are potentially a pathway that we could be targeting. And research done by other people, just looking at general metabolic syndrome and mouse models, again, have started to identify through drug screens autophagy modulators that seem to do particularly well in terms of treating metabolic disease, including type 2 diabetes. So it certainly, I think, is something to be on the lookout. It's definitely an area of exciting research, and we're really excited to be able to contribute to it.
So how has your experience been with DRWF? What difference has the funding made to your research career?
I mean, it's made a massive difference. So we've actually been fortunate enough to have in the past two grants from DRWF. So the first one was back in 2014, and that was in a project looking at really just understanding various mechanisms regulating pancreatic beta cell number. And actually, that was the first grant that allowed us to start exploring autophagy, and that's really driven the rest of our research for the past 8 to 10 years now. It's really allowed us to understand what's happening in autophagy. So it was the first thing that kind of gave us the money to explore that pathway. And then following up from this grant that we got, again, it's just allowed us to explore another avenue of autophagy research, looking at how glucose regulates autophagy. It's allowed us to then get a larger grant to fund a whole PhD studentship, which we are confident is going to give us at least 2 really good research papers from, which is really going to, again, expand the research. And we know that we've got grant applications in the pipeline off the back of that, really just drive the research even further. It just allows us to expand in the lab and really understand a lot more of what's happening with the pancreatic beta cells. So it's made a massive difference to us, and we really do want to thank the volunteers and the people that are doing the fundraising for DRWF, you know, to help support our research, because without it, you know, we couldn't do these projects.
My thanks to Catherine Arden for talking to us about her work.
Diabetes Research and Wellness Foundation. Staying well until a cure is found.
Look out for more episodes of our special podcast discussing research supported by DRWF and the advances being made. To discover how you can continue to help the charity, together with the latest fundraising events, news and information, it's all on our website at drwf.org.uk. I'm Claire Levy from Diabetes Research and Wellness Foundation. Until next time, thanks for joining us on Living with Diabetes.
Living with Diabetes is a Blue Aurora media production for DRWF. Copyright 2024. Diabetes Research and Wellness Foundation. All rights reserved.